Oak session number 12417, reel 5.
Major Watson, reel 5.
The thing I forgot to tell you, when we were withdrawn to go back to England, we arrived at Aramont and went out by LCTs to the Liberty ship, which is anchored off the harbour there. And the most frightening experience was when we transferred from the LCT to the ship. We were fully equipped with our pack and weapon and other equipment. And we had to leap from this landing craft to a rope ladder which was hung over the side of the Liberty ship. And there was a tremendous swell on the time, I can remember, and I thought, if I come this far, if I don't grab that rope, I'm going to drop into the sea and go back down to the bottom. And it was most terrifying, not for me, not even for me, but other members of the battalion. And we looked a real motley lot trying to leap across and grab this large rope ladder and clamber up the side to get on the ship. I've never been so frightened in all my life. And I thought, what an experience.
When did you get back to Northwest Europe after your stay in Britain?
After we got back, we were at Dark Hill, Newfoundland Lines, our barracks, reforming, taking in reinforcements, training, ready for another airborne operation, carried out a number of exercises, doing a number of parachute descents on the Salisbury Plain. And in December, we decided to prepare for our Christmas dinner, and our quartermaster somehow secured some like 20 turkeys, which we were going to fatten up for a Christmas meal. But on the December the 20th, we were suddenly told that there'd been a breakup by the Germans in the Ardennes, and that the 6th Airborne Division was required to go to the Ardennes to assist in stemming the advance into Belgium. So, as I said, on the 20th, we received orders to move. Our advance party was sent to Tilbury Docks on the 21st, and the main battalion prepared to move on the 22nd of December, and we entrained to Dover to stay at the Castle Transit Camp on the 23rd. At 0700 hours on the 24th of December, we embarked on the passenger ship Ben McCree and left over at 7 o'clock that morning. At about 8 o'clock we arrived at Calais and disembarked to move to a transit camp. On Christmas Day, we then moved off in open trucks, and I can remember it now how cold I was. They'd been shifting coal, I think, because everybody was complaining that there was a lot of coal dust about on the trucks. and we moved off to Nyamira. And on the 26th of December, we took up defensive positions in that area. On the 27th of December, the battalion was then in position, in a defensive position, to hold bridges over the river Meuse. On the 1st of January, there we stayed until in that area until the 31st of December.
Without having made contact with German ground troops?
No, not really. There were one or two aircraft around, but they didn't do any damage at all. Then on the 1st of January, we had a warning order to move to Dino. There was no activity on the battalion front. On the 2nd of January, we received an order to relieve to be relieved by the 12 Devons, and at 1100 hours, we received another order to proceed to a village called Pondre in the Ardennes, preparing to move up to what we call up to the front line. Obviously, we were going, obviously going to the area where the Germans actually reached in that part of the Ardennes. We then Pondre on the 3rd of January. Then we then at 8 o'clock in the morning or 8:30 we moved towards Bure. Now we received orders the night before. That's on the 2nd at 10 at 20:30 hours to attack Bure, a village called Bure. Then go on and attack another village called Groupon. As I said before, at 8:30 on the 3rd, we moved up towards Bure in TCVs. And then troop carrying vehicles. And debussed at a place called Resting. And then we marched to a village called Telling. And then we left the road at Telling. What I remember this time, the snow was snowed very heavily. In fact, I think everybody said it was the worst winter the Ardennes had had for many a year. And we moved up to a formed up place on a edge of a wood overlooking Bure. We actually approached it after leaving the road at Telling, and we actually approached to the formal place, actually through the wood. It was a very long wood and very difficult to get through because of the we wanted to be undercover. We weren't quite sure whether there were any outposts or observation posts of the Germans watching us, what we were doing. I remember the sun was shining, believe it or not, and I could see as we were going through the wood, through the trees, the sun shining down, and it looked very colourful, picturesque, like a Christmas postcard, with the snow on the trees and the leaves and on the branches. About 1300 hours, we formed up at the edge of the wood to attack and take Bure. A Company, which I was commander, I was then commanding the company. A Company was on the left. To my right was B Company, commanded by a man called Major Grantham. And C Company was in reserve.
How do you spell B-U-R?
B-U-R-E. May I go back, when we were back in the UK, back in barracks at Lock Hill, that my company commander, John Cramphorn, injured his spine when he dropped into Normandy, but managed to cope with the pain throughout the whole of Normandy. But when we got back to the barracks, he had to leave, and I was then given command of the company. So it was, to my mind, it was really good for me because I'd be the platoon commander in the same company, or second in command in the same company. And so I got to know the men very well, and then I found myself in command of the company. So, as far as my promotion was concerned, it was good because I was with a lot of men who knew me and how I operated. Anyway, let's get back to the attack on Bure. My task was to attack the village itself and clear it, with B Company to my right to capture the high ground overlooking Bure. At 13:20 hours, a heavy mortar concentration was brought down on my company as well as B Company, and it caused a lot of casualties. I remember lying down with the rest of the company, ready to get up and move, and looking up, and just above my head, although with the mortar in, and watching the leaves being shot off at about a foot above me, which made me suspect the fact that they knew we were there, and that they obviously got their guns on fixed lines onto that wood. During the heavy concentration, I estimate I must have lost at least a third of my company. I knew this was a desperate situation, and the longer we stayed there, the worse it was going to be. So I ordered that we would to immediately attack, get into Bure as fast as possible, to get under the firepower from the Germans. That's what we did. We got up, and my full platoon ahead of me. We got down the slope as fast as possible, onto the road, and then got into the village, and into the first lot of houses. From then onwards, it was a pretty slow progress. We've got the foothold, and eventually we started to move forth from house to house. There's nothing more difficult than being in a village on a house-to-house fighting. If you're not careful, you can lose control. Fortunately enough, I managed to locate where the rest of my company was, so I could communicate across the road or other side of the road to the village, where we were going down the main road into the through the village, to hear what was happening on their side and what I was telling what was happening on my side. There were situations when tried to ferret out the Germans, where you could be upstairs and they would be downstairs, and in another situation I could be upstairs and you could be they could be downstairs. But eventually we managed to fight and ferret out the enemy, and then until we reached the crossroads within the village. This has all happened on the same day. At about 1900 hours, the enemy counterattacked, supported by Tiger tanks. In the meantime, C Company had moved into Bure to support me, and they were forced back by about 100 yards, but still well but behind me. We set up a tight perimeter and hold what we've got so far, which is about half the village. We did have Sherman tank support, and they were behind us, and they could see that that there were six SP guns over on the left of us up in the high ground, which were causing us quite a fair amount of problems by firing into the village. Fortunately, they were able to shoot them up and silence them, which made it much easier for us. This went on throughout the whole of the day. We had another attack at about 8 o'clock in the evening by the Tiger tanks, but this was broken up by my company and C Company. In fact, four counterattacks were broken up during the night. I think we were getting a bit tired by now. There's no possibility of sleep, and we're getting a bit hungry. The following morning, on the 4th, we were then subject to a very heavy artillery fire, which caused quite a number of casualties. And during that morning, we had a further five enemy counterattacks, which were broken up. But it appeared to me that the one single Tiger tank was still operating the village, which was making it a bit difficult for us. I think I must bring in here that we were getting hungry, and I had a super colour sergeant, a man called Harry Watkins, and I don't know how he did it, but he managed to come forward with tea and stew, and settled himself behind one of the big houses, which I was then able to feed the company in groups, even when with the battle still going on. How he found us, I don't know, but he did. And I've never forgotten it. at still on the same day of the 4th, we were still being counterattacked. In fact, during that skirmish with the Tiger tanks, 16 Shermans were knocked out. They were literally no match for this enormous tank, who had a tremendous lot of firepower. Throughout that day, I sent out fighting patrols to find out what was really going on at the end of the village. But in most cases, they were forced back into the company perimeter. At about 1800 hours on the 4th, a company of the 2nd Battalion, the Ochsenbucks, joined us as reinforcements, and they literally came really under my command, because I was getting very depleted by then. At about that evening on the 4th, the enemy then started with a draw to the eastern end of the villages, and the Ochsenbucks company assisted me by clearing the villages in that part clearing the buildings in that part of the village. But at 10 o'clock, the enemy counterattacked with Tiger tanks, which forced a withdrawal, forced the Ochsenbucks to withdraw back into my company area. At 1 o'clock, this is now the 5th, the position started to stabilise, but there was still this one tank, Tiger tank, operating in the village. At 8:30 that morning, we decided that it was about time we pushed the enemy out of the village. So with the Ochsenbucks, myself and C Company and the elements of B, we started to move forward and started clearing the villages, village house by house. And by 9 o'clock that day, the last enemy outpost in that village, which my company is in, the forward company, we then finally cleared the village by 9 o'clock. So we've been going at it since 1300 hours on the 3rd of January, and still fighting to remove the enemy from the village at round about 8:30 on the evening of the 4th. So it was quite a long battle. No, correction, on the 5th. Then at late evening on the 5th, I was called to battalion headquarters when I was told by Colonel Peter Laird that we were to withdraw from the village. it appeared the reason for this was that the Germans had, we knew the Germans were withdrawn, and that the 7th Battalion had come in from a different direction and had no trouble in capturing our 2nd Battalion, which was Groupon. So there was no reason why we'd done what we went to do, and therefore that area was secure, and we were told to withdraw. At about half past 12 on the morning of the 6th, that's a.m., just after midnight, we then withdrew out of the village, all very wet, very cold, unshaven, tired, and we withdrew back to the fire brigade area, where we stayed the night and rested, had hot food. We were issued with blankets and a change of clothing. I had a jolly good sleep. It was a tough battle. We lost a lot of men. In fact, some 182 men were either killed or wounded during that battle. With about half my company had gone. In fact, altogether, I think there were 68 officers' men killed during that Battle of Buar. I suppose one would say, well, why did we do it? And why did we have to withdraw? Well, the Germans had pulled out. We gave them a pretty good bloody nose. And if you really look at the map of that area, it was Buar where the Germans were stopped. And in fact, if you go into that village now, you can see a stone on the edge of the village where that was as far as the Germans had got in that sector in their attempt to break out to get into Belgium and onto the sea. It was a very hard and battle, and I think the morale of the men was tremendous. Although we lost a lot of men, they felt at least we played a bloody good part in stemming the advance of the Germans through the Ardennes.